We have had in the past a few times where we ask a question or two, that is, let you ask a question or two, and we hadn't done this in quite a long while. For the last few services, I've been pretty much bringing out what is happening. We've been ministering to you, and we've tried to bring out what is taking place right now and how near the coming of the Lord is. The last service, we kind of got into Revelation. But other than that, we've been trying to talk to you about the present day truth. Things that's happening, like the thing over in Russia. And the things that's happening locally. We're trying our best to keep you up to date on everything that we understand as to the coming of the Lord, because the coming of the Lord is so near at hand. It is so near at hand, and the average individual doesn't understand it at all. They don't know anything at all about the coming of the Lord. So that makes it real bad. Yeah, I thought tonight we'd just let you ask a question or two, and maybe we might comment just a little bit. I'm going to read from over in St. Mark, chapter 3. And it says here in the 22nd verse, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said," how many know what the scribes were? How many know that was the scribblers? That is the scribes, the scribblers. Those that scribed and they're scribing, they're writing, whatever. The scribes, it was a sect of people. There was the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They said, "He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he had an unclean spirit." Right there, that's some pretty serious talk. When you stop and think, can someone actually eternally doom themselves? Can they actually do something, thank you, brother, that will actually eternally doom themselves? Can a man actually say something in the way of words? Is it possible that he can say something in the way of words or expression and eternally doom his soul? See, is it possible that a person can get beside themselves and do something that seems small to him and yet cut himself off eternally from the things of God? He can. He can. See here, it's very obvious. It says, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men." See, it doesn't matter what kind of sin that you commit, God will forgive it. All sins, he will forgive it. And even if you blaspheme, You know, to speak against or just to pounce on somebody and say ugly things is to blaspheme, whether it's against one thing or another. And blaspheme is whithersoever you blaspheme. He said, doesn't make any difference. You may blaspheme 1,000 times. You may blaspheme 1,000 things. But he said, I'll forgive that. If you ask me, I'll forgive that. And if you curse men, say all kind of things against them, I'll forgive that, he said. I'll forgive that. They cursed Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They spit on Jesus. They crucified Jesus. But did you know God forgave them? He forgave that. But he said, there's one thing I will not forgive. He said, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, I'll never forgive you. For he said, there's no forgiveness for that in this world nor in the world to come, which means in the millennium when the Jews shall judge the world. Judge the nations, that is. See, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And this, someone would say, well, what is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? It makes it real clear. They said that he hath a devil. And they say that he hath Beelzebub, which is the chief of the devils. You know, there's Michael, there's Gabriel, there's Beelzebub. They said he hath Beelzebub, which is the prince of the devils. And said he's casting out devils with the prince of the devil. Which is absurd. You can't cast out a devil by a devil. Jesus made it clear that a divided house can't stand. There ain't no way that you could do things like that. See, and he says here, this is because they said he had an unclean spirit. They said that. Now that's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. When they spoke against Jesus, his spirit, and said that he was doing the holy, wonderful things of God by the devil, he said, I won't forgive that kind of talk. Someone would say, well, how serious is this? He goes on to emphasize it. He said, one word, just one word. Think about that, folks. Your salvation hinges on you saying one word as to right or wrong. He said, one word spoken against the Spirit of God. One word spoken against the Holy Ghost. Said, it'll never be forgiven you. See, that's why that I say a lot of times we should be serious. We should be upfront with what we do. We should be always conscientious. Because one word spoken against the Holy Ghost and we are eternally doomed. Brother Pike can't get you through. Nobody else can't pray you through. Nobody can get you forgiveness. You're eternal damned and doomed. Just one word spoken against the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible said be sober. Be sober. Always be sober minded. Don't get carried away with buying and selling and laughing and joking and listening to something on TV or radio or reading magazines or papers or ball games and especially taking dope. Going out taking dope, no matter what kind of dope it is. Taking whiskey, beer, anything that can get you off balance just a little bit in your thinking. Don't you dare do that. While you're in that condition, you can make one slip, speak one wrong word, and your soul is doomed that quick. You're eternally doomed and damned. It doesn't matter if you go to church from now on. That's it. I told you of a case where a man supposedly blasphemed the Spirit. He spoke against the Spirit. And when he did after that, he said that when he walked, he said he could walk through the woods, and said when leaves broke and little fragments, limbs and whatever, broke under his feet, as I've heard them break many times walking through the woods, especially as to a hunter, he said it sounded like the flames of hell crackling under his feet. And he was taken in such a way that he actually went by the church and threw rocks at the church. It got a hold of him so bad. And let me tell you something, folks. This is why that things is like it is in the church world today and like it is in America. There is so many people in America that has blasphemed the Spirit in this age that Jesus called them a sinful, a whole generation. Sinful and adulterous, he said. That's why they're so free to commit adultery and go out and dress the way they do and put things on their chest up here or on their back and worshiping Satan and making all kind of remarks. See, they blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and the Bible said they've gotten past feeling. See, they get past feeling. You've got a feeling here. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. And you got a feeling down here. And when you get past that feeling, you can do anything. I never will forget what Brother Branham said one time. Brother Branham said, having a service, and he spoke to this woman in the name of the Lord and told her that she should come to God. And she made a smart remark toward him and just made a big joke out of it. Didn't come to God. And he said it was a number of years later. He was in the same area. And while he was in this area, he passed by. And this woman passed by him. Of course, there's some change over a period of time. He said he didn't recognize her. She apparently looked like an old hag. She was a terrible looking thing. Whereas apparently she was a fine looking person before then. And said she stopped him and said, preacher, said, do you remember me? He said, no, I don't remember you. And she said, I'm the woman that you spoke to on a certain night years ago. And said, preacher, since you spoke to me and I did like I did, she said she'd got past feeling. She said, I could kill my own mother. Said it wouldn't bother me. And she had gotten into that kind of condition. See, to go contrary to God, to do contrary to God, just one little thing. Take your little dope. Get out in a frolic. Start laughing and joking. And all of a sudden, before you realize it, you get in a big way and somebody says something and you say the wrong word. And when you do, it doesn't matter how much you repent over it. It doesn't matter how much you call on the Lord, how much you say, I'm sorry, how much you go to the preacher. No matter what you give him, no matter what you do, you are eternally doomed and damned. This is what the Bible means when it says some are dead and twice dead, plucked up by the root. See, you are dead because when Adam sinned, all of his seed came to death. For he said, the day that thou eatest thereof, Adam, thou shalt surely die. And all die in Eve. All die. They are dead to God and Eve. But that's only dead as to sin and trespasses. They still have a chance for redemption, to come to God and be born again. But when you commit this unpardonable, when you go the wrong way and you wait too long, then you kill the root of life. The root of life. And then the Bible teaches that you are twice dead, plucked up by the root. It doesn't matter if you're alive and breathing in this world. It doesn't matter. You are still plucked up by the root. And you can never be saved. You are twice dead. See, and this is why you should never frolic. This is why you should never press the issue. This is why you should never go contrary to what the ministry is trying to teach you or what the church is trying to do for you, because that's the love of God towards you. I tell you this so often, and I know I haven't gotten around to asking, letting you ask the questions. But anyway, I try to tell you that God loves you. I believe that you believe me when I say that God loves you. God loves you. God doesn't want you to blaspheme against the Spirit and be cut off. God doesn't want you to be lost. God isn't against you. Though the devil harasses your mind all the time, and he's always putting thoughts of condemnation in your heart to accuse God, yet you're the one that gives place to that. The Bible said the little foxes spoil our vines because our vines have tender grapes. You do a little something, whether it's watching TV or reading a magazine or whatever it might be, it's an unvirtuous thing, a conversation, whatever. So you get into this, and you do those little things, as you would say. And then the devil, he gets a shot at you. He gets an opening at you. You open the door to him. You bring in condemnation. And then the devil, he perches up there and he starts accusing God. And he's always accusing God. Paul said, within my body, that is these thoughts that I get, these feelings I get, these desires that I get, being subject to vanity as a creature, he said, there's no good thing. I can't find no good thing among these things. He said, on the inside of me and my heart, having been born again, those that are born again, he said, I have a desire to do good and I have a desire to do right. He said, but to perform it with this outer being as to this man, this body, he said, I can't get it to do right at all. He said, for when I would do good, evil is always present with me. When I want to think good, when I want to try to do good, evil is always there. The accusations, the condemnations, the thoughts of wretched thoughts. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm a wretched man. I'm a wretch. Though I've been born again, he said, I am a wretch so far as my body. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So this is a death, and this body is to blame for it. How can I get loose from this body? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? How can I get loose from it? And that's when he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that the law gets its strength, or sin gets its strength by the law, and the law came to do us good, but the law couldn't do it, because the law only reminds me of my wrongs and brings condemnation, because I'm weak to the creature as being subject to the vanities of this world. He said, in what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son to Calvary condemned the body of flesh, in that Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh. And he's the god of this world. He lures the flesh. He controls everything in the world. So he said, what the law couldn't do, God sent his own son in the form of sin, made an end of it, smote his own son to do away with my image of sin and your image of sin, to where he would never see it again. He smote it, he took it, he buried it. That's why we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, is to do away with the outer image, the first man Adam, that in Eve all die, and that to be resurrected in his likeness, to come forth in a new image. The Bible said Jesus appeared in another form. A new image, even flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, to be the image of the Lord Jesus. See, to be free from sin, to never sin again. He that is born of God cannot sin. I remind you again, the angel said to Daniel, Messiah will come and make an end of sin. And he came and made an end of sin. And now we're born of God as to the inner man, and the outer man is dead, and God never sees it again until the Thessalonian change. As to the new man that will come forth, even Christ, he sees us as bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of his son. And his son's spirit is within us. And our spirit is sealed until the day of the redemption and change of that body. And the evil one never touches us at any time. Never, never. We are sealed from sin. And we are free from sin. Therefore, we cannot sin. And the devil never touches us. We never sin again. He that is born of God cannot sin. It doesn't matter what a preacher tells you. It doesn't matter what I tell you. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter any way that you read the Bible. The scripture said, he that is born of God cannot sin. Because the seed of God, which is the word, Jesus Christ, the spirit, the faith of Christ, remains in you, and you are justified by faith and purified by that faith seed within you. And you cannot sin because you are born of God. You are his son by one virtue. God gave his son, took that spirit of his son, set that body as a blood atonement. Yonder on the mercy seat, it's on the mercy seat tonight, a vesture dipped in blood that will appear in Revelation 19. It's there, and the spirit and life of that body returned into you and into me, Brother Taylor, all of them that believe in God. And according to the measure of it that you received is your hope of glory. He alone being made heir to the glory of God, he within you is the hope of that glory. And that glory, as I say, was there with Moses and Elijah on the mountain. And this glory is given to you by measure. Whatever the measure of spirit is, that's his son's spirit. And because his son's spirit is within you, then you are his son. Because when that spirit was in Jesus, that was his son. And now that that spirit's in you, you're his son. Though it was with Christ, without measure, it's in you by measure. And whatever measure you allow for, he's commanding us to go on to the full measure, the full stature. or gone to a full reward, but that measure that you've allowed for, that Christ within you, that's the measure that you have. You have that measure within you, and that is His Spirit. That is the Son of God's Spirit. So if the Bible says, if you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. If you have the Spirit, even as the measure, whatever the measure might be, that makes you the Son of God. You are a Son of God by virtue of that Spirit. He requires that. So I said that to say this, that with the Spirit, we become His. But if you don't have that Spirit, then you've never been born again. And if you do have that Spirit, then God loves you. And God wants, He wants you to have the very best. He wants to give you all things that pertain unto life. He wants to give you health and happiness and life and everything that pertains unto life. It is His staunch desire to give it to you. You know, it's like this. You go to pray for somebody with blind eyes. You go to pray for somebody with deaf ears. You go to pray for somebody that's in desperate need, that needs healing. You go to pray for them, and you think, well, I don't know whether God wants to heal them or not. I don't know whether they're good enough or not. I just don't know whether God's going to hear me or not. What you have to remember is that God, the great eternal Spirit, is like water that's behind the great dam. And that water, it has that dam under pressure. It would break through at any time. They could find just a little crack in that wall. That whole body of water with all that force would break through. And that's the way God is. He has spilled His blood out of His veins. He's given it to let you know that He loves you. And He is trying to break through the wall of iniquity. The Bible said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and hath kept thee back from good things. God can't fellowship that iniquity. He can't get near that iniquity. If He could, He would come right down. When all of these sorrows happen, all these things happen to little children, and to widows and orphans, and all these horrible situations in the world, God would immediately eradicate those things and come down and change it. But He can't. He can't. Like I said to you before, many mighty miracles He could not do because of their unbelief. That was Jesus, a powerhouse. A powerhouse of God with the full measure of God that would have healed them in a minute. Went about doing good, healing all. Delivering them from devils, setting the captive free. But when He got to this group of people, their iniquities. See, their iniquities, their unbelief. He couldn't do anything for them. Because light cannot fellowship darkness. It's utterly impossible for light to fellowship darkness. Wherever light comes, it eradicates darkness. Light and darkness can never get together. And your iniquities are there. Now, if light come to you, it will eradicate your iniquities of darkness. It will do away with it. But it can't come to you because you are allowing for the iniquity. If it was something where you stumble and staggered, asking God to move it, you're under the blood, Jesus could come to you through the blood, that is God through the blood of Jesus, and He would eradicate your iniquities and immediately heal you and do whatever you needed. But He can't do that because you are willingly allowing that you become a habitual transgressor. It is an allowance. You are allowing for it. And because of that, God cannot come. Satan says no. Because I am the possessor of this house. The Bible teaches before a strong man can spoil the goods of the house of another strong man, he must go in and bind the strong man. There's no problem with that. God can go into your life, into your house. Peter called this a house. He can bind the strong man, Satan, and cast him out. But if you are a habitual violator, or if you are willingly doing the things of the world, God can't get near you. But the very minute that you call on the Lord, the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you call on the Lord, then that means you don't want those iniquities. You don't want those transgressions. You don't want those wrongs. And though Satan hath power over the creature is subject to the vanity. Yet God will sweep down from heaven in His light, eradicate the problems of the house, move the iniquity out, and sanctify the house. And then fill it with His Spirit. Fill it with His Spirit. And the devil can't get back in. He can't touch you. And even your outer man, your outer body, will have the best, the very best of all things that God has given you as all things that pertain unto life. You'll have the very best as long as you use your faith. But if you don't really use your faith and stay strong in faith, taking the shield of faith to eradicate all the fire darts of Satan, then the devil will rob you of all the good things that you have for the body, even though you've been sealed on the inside, and though you've got God's seal on the inside, because you don't apply yourself to be strong in faith. The Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you don't apply yourself, then you don't get the benefits of all these wonderful things that God has for you. So then God is like that water behind the dam. He wants to get to you. When you go to pray for the blind man, you got to think like this. It's not a matter of whether or not God wants to heal him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went about healing all that was oppressed of the devil when he was here. He's the same today. Two or three gather together in my name. There am I in the midst. He goes about to heal all of them. All of them. Because your justification is not by your doings or by your righteousness, but it's by faith of God. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that sanctifies you and cleanses your heart, that the Spirit of God can come in and heal you and save you and do the things for you that you need. See, it is by virtue of Christ. So then all you've got to do is believe. When the preacher preaches it, then you believe. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside, just cried to God. He said, "What would you have me to do for you?" He said, "Restore my sight." He asked the question many times. He said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" He said, "Yea, Lord, according to your faith." He said, "Whatever you want, according to your faith." He said, "Ask what you will, I'll do it. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass." He said, "Say what you will, and don't doubt in your heart. I'm the high priest of your confession. Say what you will. Don't doubt in your heart, and you'll be healed. It'll come to pass, and you'll have whatever you say." Whatever you say. It don't matter. You just say what you want to say, and it'll be according to your faith. It'll be according to what you say. Don't doubt. That's a great challenge, isn't it? Now you say, "Brother Pike, that really doesn't work." I know that it's working. I know that it's working. Not that it has worked, even though it has worked many times for me, but not as though it has worked. It's working for me right now. I live by it every day. The just shall live by faith. Every day of my life, I decree things in my heart. I say certain things is coming to pass. Thus it comes to pass. Because that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I said the other night to my wife, I said, "Betty, Sister Francis' mother is fixing to die." That was that night, that day at dinner, she died. Now, see, I said that not to believe her to death, but because God made me to know that. See, He gives you prophetical utterance. If we say something, it comes to pass. Prophesy something or speak something, then that's God. You should reverence, you should respect the Spirit that said those things. See, so I decree a thing in my heart, and I've done this many times down through the years, and I said, "Betty, it's going to be like that." I go overseas and I spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. You know why I do that? By faith. I get on my knees, I go to God, I pray, and I say, "Lord, I feel that I should go over into a certain country." And I said, "Lord, I don't have the money. I must pay the bills at home. I must take care of the home front. And I want to share with the poor and the needy." And I say, "Lord, help me. God, be with me. Lord, stand by me." And as I am praying, the Bible said, when you pray, believe. And I pray till I begin to feel His anointing, feel His favor. And then I lock in on, I say, "That's it." Hallelujah. I said, "It's going to be that way, and 10,000 worlds can't change it. That's the way it'll be." And I go off with that, and I don't give. Not at all. And that's the way it works. And it always works that way. Never fails. So then that means that we've got to believe God. We've got to believe God. If you're going to pray for somebody, we've got to have this feeling. When we go to pray for somebody, we've got to have this feeling. It's not a matter of whether he's good enough or she's good enough or whether God wants it. We have the Bible. It's already said that God By stripes we were healed at Calvary. That settles it. That's past. He's already given it to us. It's that treasure up there that he's laid up for us. It's already in the bank for us. He's already done it. It's not a matter of whether he will do it. He's already done it. It's a matter of me just going to the bank and writing the check and getting what I've already got. You know, he said, let the weak say I'm strong. I want to say this to you again, as I said the other night. Let the weak say I'm strong. Now, if I say, Brother Taylor, the Bible said, let the weak say I'm strong. I'm weak. I can't say I'm strong because I'm weak. If I did that, I'd be lying because I'm weak. But see, the Bible said, be strong in the power of my might. Hallelujah. The power of my might. See, if God's already given that to me in Christ Jesus, I'm not lying. That belongs to me. I'm not confessing that so that he'll give me that out yonder in the future. I'm confessing that because it already belongs to me. If I say to Stevie, I've got a Cadillac and I've got a Cadillac, even though Stevie don't see it, I'm not lying. I've got a Cadillac. If I say, Brother Taylor, I'm strong because I got plenty of strength. I confess what God has done for me, whether it's by his stripes I was healed or whatever. And then when I really believe that in my heart, then I say, oh my God, like the little woman that felt the virtue that come out of Christ, something happens. Something happens. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is, if it is faith in God, you've already got it. And when you have faith in God, you get your healing. When you have faith in God, you get your salvation. When you have faith in God, God delivers you from all of your problems. But without faith in God, you don't get anything. You must have faith in God. This is why Jesus said so often, have faith in God. You are an individual. This is an individual thing. You are an individual. You must believe it, man or woman. You must believe it. I can't make you have this. Your wife can't. Your husband can't. No one can't. It is your own individual life. As to salvation, as to healing, or whatever. So when I pray for the sick, this is the way I pray. I pray for the sick like this. I think that water is behind that dam and it's pressing to get to this person. God's already justified them, the same to every creature. The blood is on the seat of atonement for all the world. And here's a creature that's calling on the Lord Jesus, and that water is pushing, trying to break that dam. And I say, give me your attention. Listen at me. Believe what I'm saying to you. The Lord is just, he's wanting to get to you so much, he spilt the blood out of his veins trying to get to you. He's trying to get to you. He's trying to get to you. Will you listen at me? Will you believe what I say? Can you grasp that? Can you actually believe that he loves you that much? It's the truth, so help me God. And he's pressing and he's pushing and he's trying to get to you. And all I'm trying to do is get your attention and tell you what he told me to tell you. And that is his love, and that he's given you all things that pertain unto life. And then when I get them stirred up and their faith begins to illuminate them, and I feel that open door like Paul, he turned, and the Bible said he perceived that this man had faith to be healed. This man all of a sudden lit up and his faith come up. And Paul suddenly realized that this individual over here had been stirred and his faith was stirred. And he turned over there and spoke to him in the name of the Lord. And immediately something happened. Immediately something happened. I never will forget down here. I was speaking one day and I was trying to reach Jimmy Smith. Jimmy was spitting up blood. I knew that Jimmy was going to die. I knew he was going to die. But I kept trying to reach Jimmy. And I thought, how can I reach Jimmy? How can I reach him? And I kept talking. I was speaking indirectly. And I would speak indirectly here and I would speak indirectly there. And finally I got Jimmy's attention. And Jimmy didn't know nothing about it. He was listening. And it was just kind of a conversation. And then I went down a certain route. I come around a certain way. And I thought, when I lay this down there, there ain't no way in the world he's going to be able to escape it. This thing is going to hit him like a ton of bricks. And I worked that thing around and I laid everything in order. And when I got to a certain place and I said, like that. And boy, that thing hit Jimmy. I could tell it was just like you had put an arrow in a bow and shot it right into his heart. And that thing went clear through Jimmy. And I thought, there you are, you're healed. You're healed. And sure enough, he was healed from that moment on. See, and that's the way it works. Peter walking on the water. Peter was just walking on the water. There he was believing, walking on the water, which is impossible. Walking on the water, it was just faith, that's all it was. Because just the very minute that he looked down at the water, saw the boisterous waves, and his natural mind returned to him as to the danger, his faith went away. And when his faith went away, down, down, down he was going. And he only retained enough faith and confidence to say, "Lord, take my hand." See, you can be a master or you can barely hold on. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was also able to perform. So see, this is so important that we believe. See, you can believe. No matter what age you are, you can believe. As long as you're old enough to understand what we're saying. Doesn't matter whether you're aged or whether you're young, whether you're a woman. It doesn't matter, man, whatever. You can believe. That's the beautiful part about this. No difference, male or female, in God. You can believe. And this is great. It's like a woman that told a man one time in the Old Testament. She said, "If you won't do what God tells you," said, "I'll take that honor." And she took that crown and she went off and got the job done. See, so it just doesn't matter. That's how beautiful it is. So I'm telling you this tonight, that you've got to understand God loves you. With all of these accusations of mine, with all of these threats of mine, God has already secured your soul. Satan can never touch you in spite of all those threats. Speaking of them that's been born again, you are free from it. But if you listen to those things, though he's already sealed your soul from sin, if you listen to those accusations, or if you do the little things that bring condemnation to kill your faith, then that means the devil will rob you of all those things. He'll spoil your minds and you'll never have the blessings that God wants you to have in making you rich and adding no sorrow, in making you to ride upon the high places of the earth, in making all of your beds in the time of your sickness, that is to say, he'll heal you, and in giving you the desires of your heart because you delighted yourself in the Lord and you love to serve him. Satan will rob you of all those things by those accusations when they don't even count against you because the body is dead. It's gone. See, God has taken away the accusations, brethren. Remember this. God has taken away the accusations. So far as Satan gaining any strength with God for God to accuse you, he's already done away with your sins. So God has no reason to accuse you. See, so that side of it he has eliminated. There is nothing from God but peace on earth and goodwill from God toward mankind. That's once and for all. God unchangeable. He never alters or changes things. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man, as he said to the shepherds, because now you have a Savior. I'll never be upset at you again. See, Jesus was delivered from my transgressions, and he was raised again for my justification. Now am I justified in the sight of God by faith in what he did for me. So I said that to say this. He's done away with that side of it. But one side he cannot do away with. It's up to you to do away with this side. And that is you listening to the devil to accuse him. He done away with it as to accuse you. But you have to do away with it as to accuse him. You've got to quit listening to that. You've got to remember that's gone. And if you stumble and if you stagger, if you make a mistake, don't condemn yourself over that thing which you allow. Go on by faith. Keep your faith up because you didn't mean to do that. You wasn't practicing that. You didn't go out to do that. You stumble into that, and that's what the blood was for. God never sees that. You're still perfect. But, beloved friend, remember one thing. When you become a habitual violator, when you become one that practices those things, when you allow for the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the desire of the flesh, and you go about doing this, then that you allow for it, and then you say, "Well, I didn't mean to do that, and I didn't mean to do this," you're in trouble with God. Because God will get you for that. And he cannot get to you. When I say God will get you, I want to clarify something there. God can't get to you because you've allowed for iniquity. And his love and desire is still towards you, like he looked at the rich young ruler and loved him. But the rich young ruler turned away sorrowful because he would not do what Christ said. But he still looked at him and loved him. Even Judas, he said, "Friend, friend," offering him love, because Jesus wasn't a friend to him, but he was a friend to Judas, still loving him. He loved the rich young ruler. See, he still loves you, but he can't get to you. So then that means your fields will be burned. Satan will come in and burn your barley fields, as Brother Jack Coe used to say. So I'm saying this to you, that We have to get our mind straightened out, our thoughts straightened out. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that loved the Father and believed in the Father and wouldn't listen at any accusations. A clear mind, a wholesome mind. And don't feed your mind off of TV and magazines and derogative things in this life. Don't put that garbage in your mind. Keep it clean so you can have, Paul said, a pure heart. A clean heart, the pure in heart shall see God. He purifies the heart by faith, sanctifying it by faith of Jesus Christ. Get all those things out of your life. See, keep a conscience void of offense toward man and God. That way you'll have faith. You'll have faith. And that's what faith is all about. He said it, the preacher tells you, you believe it, and that's the way it is. That way you don't take a chance of blaspheming. You don't take a chance of being cut off. You don't take a chance of losing your soul. I was going to ask a question or two tonight, but I failed to see these things. I perceive that somebody is wanting faith. To death, that somebody's wanting their healing. And the Lord took me down this trail tonight. And I'm just talking to you. I'm just exhorting you a little. I'm not screaming and preaching at you. I'm just exhorting you a little bit. But folks, this is such a beautiful thing. How beautiful it is to think that you can have it. Let whosoever will come and freely partake of the waters of life freely. And to think that God loves you so much that it's nothing to do with God as to your failure. It's just listening to the lies of Satan. It's so wonderful to love Jesus and know his love for you. But remember, he can't fellowship iniquity. He's light. He can't fellowship darkness. And you can't have these blessings by hypocriting around and telling yourself it's going to be all right, because it isn't going to be all right. When there is iniquity in your heart, the Bible said, he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, God cannot hear him. God cannot get to you. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and held thee back from good things. Jesus rent the veil. He took that body out of the way and all of the iniquity. If you'll call on the Lord and trust in his goodness and his love. But folks, I'm telling you, you're going to have to do things that are good. Follow after things that are virtuous. Listen to things that are right. Want the things that please God. The secret, Enoch translated, before his translation, this testimony, he pleased God. Jesus, I do always the things that please the Father. So you see, when we do these things, John said, doing the things that please God, hereby we convince our heart, then do we have confidence toward God. That is faith. That is faith. That is faith. You understand what I'm saying? This is faith. Confidence in God. That is faith. Can you stand with me? You can't make believe. You can't manufacture it. That is faith. That is faith. All right. So then you see where faith is. You see what faith is. You see the reality of faith. You see the difference between believing and make believing. You understand? Another thing is, when you pray, you must believe. Jesus said, he that cometh to God must first of all believe there is a God, or believe that he is. And then he must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe that if you pray to God and you seek God, that God is going to reward you. That's his desire. You've got to believe that. And in doing that, that makes way for God. And how could you believe anything else? You know, if Brother Taylor came to me tonight and he said, I love you, Brother Pike, I'd say, give me a proof of it. And he just reached over and he just cut his wrist and reached over and he cut his wrist. And he said, here's my proof of it. And I'd say, hey, Brother Taylor, you're going to bleed to death. He said, I haven't given you the kind of proof that I want you to have until I breathe my last breath. I love you, Brother Pike. I tell you, I couldn't hardly deny that. Couldn't hardly deny that, and especially if he died and then resurrected from the dead, and I knew that he'd resurrected from the dead, he'd come back and says, do you believe my proof of my love? I said, well, how could I believe anything else? He says, all right, now that you believe it, I'm going to give you all things that pertain unto life, because I'm all powerful and I'm able to do it. From now on, Brother Pike, you're like a babe in a mother's arms. Everything you can desire, your heart's desire, from now on it's yours. Do you believe me? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know. That wouldn't make any kind of sense at all, would it? If I really know that he was able to do it. Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? How many of you believe he's able to do it? It wouldn't make any sense at all to doubt that he would do it if you know he could do it. When he's told you all the things he did and give you the proof of your salvation, how can you believe that he saved you if you can't believe that he's healed you? How could you? What's the difference? How can you believe that he saved you if you can't believe that he wants you to prosper and be in health above all things as your soul prospers? You understand what I'm saying? We need to understand God. In the last days, they that know their God shall do great and mighty exploits. That is, they that understand their God will have confidence and faith and go forth in mighty power. But I tell you in the name of the Lord, make it believe your mind on your faces, on your body, on the world, on prestige, on all these kind of things. Not doing anything for God, you're never going to have faith. You're never going to have confidence. Because that is not serving God. But in the real service of the Lord, the confidence will build. Just out of simplicity, sincerity toward Christ, accepting his word. You love the Lord? How wonderful it is to be a Christian. That's why it's wonderful. How could anything be more wonderful? Having a business, having a job, making money. Somebody said, boy, I can make thousands. I can be a millionaire. I'm talking about something that makes a billionaire look like a toadstool. I'm talking about the riches in heaven that we can have in earthen vessels. Paul said that makes all of the riches of this world nothing more than beggarly elements. Beggarly. Just beggarly elements. All that you are, all that you can be, all that you could ever have, it just makes it beggarly elements. So then we say, we are excited, as I told somebody today. We are excited. So, well, what are you excited about? I got a good job. I make a lot of money. I've got a nice automobile. I got a home. I got a plantation. I got a good income. I got three healthy children. I said today, fine. That means you can have one funeral, two funerals, three funerals. You can dig more holes. Feed the worms better. That's what you've got to look forward to. Vanity of vanities. Solomon had it all. Vanity and vexation of the spirit. See, this world means nothing, brethren. It means nothing. But if you have all of these good things of life that God gives you, should like no good thing you walk up right before me, then you're living and you ain't going to die. You can't die. You pass from death unto life. You just live and live and live and live and enjoy this life. Health, happiness, promises, securities. And then pass right on over and continue to live and live and live. You don't stop living. You just go to a greater plateau of life and excel the more in life. Move to a different dimension and keep on living and blossoming out the more. Now that you can enjoy. You can enjoy what you got. You can enjoy what you got. You can enjoy it. Like me, I enjoy what I got. I use it for God. I give it to God. He multiplies it. He looks after it. He watches after it. I'm not planning to die anyway. Now, Solomon had to die and leave his. And he said, vanity, 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 vexation of spirit. It's not vanity to me and vexation of spirit to me. Because I gave it all to God. I laid up the treasures in heaven. I'm giving away Cadillacs and Lincolns and whatever. It didn't bother me. Brand new ones. Roll them out of the showcase, as we say. Give them away. You know why I gave them away? Because I differentiated like this, and I thought like this, and I reasoned like this. I said, now, if I keep that car within just a year or two, it's an old car. And there it is. And I've lost that beautiful, lovely Lincoln. But I said, now, if I give that to God, it doesn't matter if it rots a few years from now. I've still got that nice, beautiful Lincoln laid up in heaven and can't nobody bother it. And I've got some up there, spiritually speaking, as to what God has given me. Something far excelling that. But I've got that forever. That treasure forever. Because I gave it to God. And folks, everything you've ever done,
Whatever you give to God, if it was just one moment of your time, you got that forever. And everything that you use for yourself, for the flesh, you don't have it. It's lost. It's gone. It's gone. That's why the Bible says, if a man seeks to save his life in this world as to the preservation of his own desire, he loses it. But the man that gives his life to Christ, he preserves it eternally. Forever. Let's sing a little chorus together, Kim. Well, I didn't mean to keep you so long. I didn't intend to talk to you that long. But I was just going to ask a question or two, but somehow it turned out that way. All right, let's sing together. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Sing that one. So don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. Oh, how you need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Let's listen to Jesus and hear his lovely voice, and don't turn him away. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing this with me. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my son. Now I'm happy. The altars are open. So at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of the heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, soul light, and the burdens of the heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. You love the Lord. Give me a key, friend.
He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Can you sing that with me? Sing it with me. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Sing it one more time. Jesus was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Oh, you know, that's the way it is. Jesus, he just kind of waits in line. You know, you've got so many things to do. You're so busy. And you say, Lord, when I do this, and Lord, when I do that. And God, give me a little more time. And when I do this, after a while, I'll get around to you. And he just stands patiently in line. Sing that again. So he was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Let's sing another little chorus or two before we go tonight. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Sing that with me. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. Now to serve the living God that has control. And though the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy. Sing it with me, can you? We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. We'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oh, can you sing one more time with me? I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by? Sing it with me. Somebody needs a blessing, Lord. Somebody needs a blessing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs a blessing, Lord. Come by here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by? Well, somebody needs their healing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord. Come by here. Oh, hallelujah, won't you? Sing that with me, can you? Oh, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. And oh, hallelujah, one more time. Oh, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. And oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by here? You love the Lord. You love the Lord. Let's give him a hand. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Can you do that? Can you sing another chorus or two before we go? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are. Sing it with me now. Beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine, they'll bless partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown to shine. All come, east and the west, and they'll come from land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed faith, and aglow with light divine, they'll bless partakers of God's grace. They're gems in, can you sing it just one more time? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. And how blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and the glow with his light divine, they're blessed partakers of God's grace, they're gems in his crown. Can you give him another hand? Cross over to the other side of Jordan.
The Lord to Joshua said, "For on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led no longer in the wilderness wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall..." Can you get over the carnal mind tonight? "Cross over to the other side of Jordan." The Lord to Joshua said, "For on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led no longer in the wilderness to wander, from Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free." Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see coming to carry me home? Was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Sing it with me now. "Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home." Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, they're coming to carry me home. "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be." I want to remind you again, as I often do, Calvary was the fullness of time, which meant the end of the world. And in the fullness of time, he sent his Son to gather all things in heaven and earth into his Son. "As Noah did the things of the ark as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man." And the Bible said, "This is as the waters of Noah to me." All flesh has corrupted its way before God. And because of that, he said, "I've got to shorten the days, lest there be no flesh buried. But for the elect's sake," he said, "I'll spare them. I'll shorten the days." So we sing the song, "Time No More." I know it's hard for you to grasp. I know it's hard for the church world to get a hold of, that we're preaching such a message that the world ended. Peter said, "Yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world come." And back there, the world ended was the fullness of time. And since that time, God has been revealing himself through the dimensional projecting of his Son, even the Christ, even the Spirit of Jesus, bringing it down to the full measure, the full stature, toward the end of the world, that we might preach to you the liberation of Christ, making an end of sin at Calvary, and the partakers, as to whom it might be, in that generation, in the following generation, and down to your generation, as to complete this thing in your generation, that when you came into the world, God could complete it. And then making a completion of it here in your generation, that the great translation is to the change of the body, the ultimatum of what God set out to do, even the purchase possession, the body, the creature itself, to be redeemed at Thessalonians change, to bring it down to this generation, to the change of the body, pelted back to this generation, that I might come and reveal to you, or the minister might reveal to you, the wonderful things that's always been yours in Christ before the world ever was, that were given to you in Christ before the world was, the Bible said, and then brought to light at Calvary, the rent veil made known to you. And now you're possessors of this wonderful thing, and now it's made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, even the heavenly treasure, the Bible said, from glory that you have in your earthen vessels. And now it's made known to the church, this manifold wisdom of God that gives you faith to become one with God, to be changed and translated out of this world into an eternal body, because you're already eternal in your soul. You've already passed from death into life, and you can't die. There's no way, because you can't sin. The sin is to die. The sting of death is sin. When sin is gone, then you can't die. It's not possible for you to die. But you can still go to sleep in the body. But Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now we're coming to the redemption of the body. There is a terrestrial, there is a celestial. The Bible said a natural body and a spiritual body. We've borne the image of the earthy. He said we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. So then, if this tabernacle be dissolved, the writer said we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand, which means bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which we already have in the foreknowledge of God, and we're waiting for the change to accept it. When it's preached, to believe it, to conquer death, and that's it. And we are the generation. So then the world is ended. Time is no more. It's gone. You know how we preach time, the origin of time, and the dissipation of time, and how that it's all gone. To you, some of you, it's a joke. To you, some of it's a fairy tale. To you, some of you, it's a myth. It's a make-believe. But that's not it at all. It's the absolute word of Almighty God. And it is changing you into an eternal creature. To you that can get it, all of you will receive to the extent you'll make-believe. You'll get it in your intellect, but in the heart, as with the heart men believeth unto the change. So it becomes faith. Not an intellectual indoctrination, but it is faith. That's what I was preaching on tonight. Faith, a heartfelt salvation, a heartfelt conviction. Millions and millions in the world will be turned away. Many of them that came to Bethlehem, many of them that went to the Pentecostal churches around the world, they'll never make it. They believe, but the Bible says if you believe, you do well. The devil believes there's one God. That won't save you. Faith is what saves you, and that's from the heart. And you have to convince your heart by doing the things that please God. Always the things that please God, Jesus said, I do those things. Enoch had that before his translation. So it's no joke. And that's why we sing the song, Time is No More. For you that have passed from death unto life, time is no more. Because I say again, it's the time to die. And you pass from death unto life, you can't die. So there's no more time for you. Don't let anybody deceive you. You can't sin. You're born of God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Let's sing that little chorus together again, can we? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, then time shall be. Can you sing that with me? And time for me is no more, no more. And time for me is no more. For the on the sea and the land, and time for me is no more. Sing it with me now. And death for me is no more, no more. And death for me is no more. For the angel he stands on the sea and the land, and death for me is no more. Sing it again.
for time can be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time for me.
Can you sing that one more time?
For death for me is no more, no more, and death for me is no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and death for me.
Just one more time. Do you really believe it?
For time can be no more, no more, and time can be no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time can be no more.
Let's just lift our hands up together tonight. Time can be no more.
Not for me.
I pass from death into life. I'm not seeking to get into heaven. I say again, the Bible said, I'm not in the flesh, for God has chosen me out of the flesh. He hath hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the change of the body. My inner man is sealed and cannot sin, because the seed of God remaineth in me. He purifies my heart by faith. He sealed me, and the evil one cannot touch me. He that is born of God, the Bible said, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. And we're not in the world, for the Bible said he's chosen us out of the world, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So you're not in the flesh. And the Bible said, if you are in the flesh, that is, you've never been born again. For he that is born of spirit is spirit. If you're in the flesh, as unto Adam and Eve, all die. So, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God, because there's no faith there. But he that is born of God cannot sin. You're not in the flesh. So there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In that you're not in the flesh, you can't walk after the flesh, because you're not in the flesh. You're not in the world. You're not in the world because you're not in the flesh, because the flesh is in the world, and Satan is the prince of the world. And he savors the things that be of the flesh. For the world is within your heart, is from the tree of knowledge, before your new birth. And when Christ comes in, he moves the world out of you. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. He moves the world out, because the world is a mind. Even the world has a mind of Satan, the tree of knowledge, of human reasoning. But we lean not to our own understanding, to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas we have the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then that mind is in you, which is the kingdom of God. And the mind of the world is gone, which is the kingdom of Satan. So you cannot walk in the flesh. Neither do we war after the flesh. So, beloved friend, tonight, that inner man is gone. For at death the spirit goeth back of God who gave it. And that outer man has been buried out of the sight of God forever. It's gone. And we're in a new form. As Jesus resurrected a new form, so are we, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In the sight of God, we are forever his beloved children, his sons and daughters. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, the church that he's coming back after. So hold fast to your faith. Don't cast away your faith that hath great recompense of reward. And don't let the devil accuse you. Casting down every thought, every imagination, every thought of accusation. For God hath made you perfect,
For the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus. The faith in Christ Jesus by which you are sanctified. So don't spend your time worrying about those things, and don't do those things that let the little foxes in to spoil your minds. Do everything that pleases the Father, that you can have that staunch confidence, which is faith toward God, and have the desires of your heart, and have the mighty power of God, and the mighty blessings of God in your life. Have health and happiness. That's what God wants you to do. Like the mighty waters behind the dam, He's pressing to get to you. Move that middle wall of iniquity. That dam has been broken as to the iniquity that separated you from the garden, from the time of the garden. You don't have that anymore. So let's believe. Let Him purify your heart. Let Him flow into your life. Let Him flow into your life. Lift your hands up. I'm going to ask Brother Atlee to come and pray with you tonight. While Brother Atlee Beach comes to pray with you, I want you to let that flow into your heart tonight. Don't let any thought at all be in your heart outside of faith in the love of God. Faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. That is, to trust in love makes you believe the more, and God is love. Trust in love. Put your faith in love. Let your believing be in love. Because that's the strength of your faith tonight. Let your strength be faith and love. He loves you. Peace on earth and goodwill to men by the spilt blood or the given blood of Jesus Christ. Eternally and forever, without change or alteration. Once and for all, He has said it to you. He'll never alter it. As our brother comes to pray with you tonight, receive your healing out of love. Let love heal you. He sent His word and healed you. And that word was His love. Even Jesus, His word, God is love. The writer said, mail order from heaven, a package of love, sent down from the Father above. Let it heal you tonight. Brother Ratliff.